In the earlier chapters, when the disciples learned that their leader was going to leave them, he said to them in John 16:22, "Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." No man will take your joy from you when I see you again. Now this is a promise then, that when you are able to transcend the senses and receive the Christ, no man can take your joy from you. Now in the 20th chapter, "Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now something happens then when you receive the Christ. As Christ is sent by the Father, you are sent by the Christ. Now we know that Christ sent by the Father means that the infinite individualizes as itself, and it is called Christ. The ocean individualizing as its waves. When Christ is sent, everything that Christ expresses is divine. It is the source expressing itself at a given point called Christ. When you are sent by Christ, everything you do is the infinite source through Christ expressing itself as you. So that you are sent, you are ordained. That which you do is the result of your source doing it. Christ has no obstacle because Christ is the expression of the source. It is sent. You have no obstacle because you are the expression of the Christ when you have received the Christ. So the Master says to the disciples, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then we are given this great insight to that which happens when you are sent and how it happens. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." This is the fulfillment of the promise that they would rejoice when they saw him again. This is the fulfillment of the promise that if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. When you drop the personal sense of a you, of a material self, of a human lifespan, of all that your five natural physical senses report, and have divested yourself completely of the belief in corporeality, that's when the physical goes away. And then the Spirit of the Father within you breathes upon you. And this is the bestowal of the Holy Ghost or the Comforter. The Comforter comes unto you when you have dropped all physicality and belief in physicality. Because what is physicality but a five-sense belief? I see it, I touch it, I feel it, I hear it. But I have no physical senses to do this with. They are mortal, they die, they are not of the Father. What can they tell me about God? What can they tell me about Christ? What can they tell me about my permanent being? Nothing. They can only tell me about the world, re-creation. So when you drop belief in the physical senses, you are enabled to be lifted into creation instead of recreation. So the Holy Ghost is bestowed, which is that you are now sent by the Christ. You actually are that Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sends itself as you. God sends the Christ sends the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Trinity of one, and that one is your being. The activity of Christ is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And how can you have the activity of Christ, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, unless you have the Christ? And you cannot have the Christ while you're still in a five-sense world, in a five-sense concept. That's the sepulcher. That's the tomb, the five senses. So you're outside the five senses when you disbelieve in their evidence, but rather you believe in the evidence of things unseen, untouched, unheard. Then Christ in you sends the Holy Ghost. That is the activity of Christ in you expressing itself as the divine qualities of the Father where you stand. And you discover there is nothing corruptible, nothing that can decay, nothing that can die in your being, nothing that can be limited, nothing that can lack. Your being does not see the wall. Your being does not see the door. Your being does not see the physical obstruction. Only your senses do. Your being does not know what it means to need anything. Only your senses do. And this sense deception is the denial of Christ's identity. And it is the barricade we build which prevents our being sent or ordained by the Christ, so that Christ expressing the fullness of the Father is the invisible Holy Ghost finally appearing in the visible as the health of your countenance. The line of communication is clearly established that unless you transcend the belief in the senses, there is no bestowal of the Comforter or the Holy Ghost. The invisible activity of Christ cannot manifest in your experience. But here it is, being bestowed upon the disciples of Jesus Christ. In spite of all their fears that he had left them, in spite of their doubts, even in spite of their belief that he had now returned, they hadn't yet come to the realization that they were being lifted up to witness the reality of their own being. Every time we think that the Holy Ghost is just a word in the book, or that Christ is something we're going to attain tomorrow, we are really saying that God's on a vacation. God's taken 2 weeks off. God's gone fishing. But God is the invisible activity of the Christ every moment. And whatever is undivine is non-existent. There is no such thing as undivinity. It is but a sense illusion. Whatever is undivinity is actually deadness. for the divine is all. Now, because we are sent, ordained, we have a mission. And that mission is to let Christ in you feed the sick, feed the hungry, feed the dead. You find, and this is a great lesson in the practitioner work, that there is no healing takes place within your senses. In order for healing to take place, it must occur outside your senses, and then it will appear within your five sense appearing world. The actual healing is always outside the senses. There could be no healing inside the senses. And that's where we prove out for ourselves that all of the work of God must be outside your senses. You must learn how to live outside them, not inside them. The within of you is living outside your senses. The above of you, the transcendental of you, the reality of you. And then suddenly the senses are revealed as the world mind in disguise. That's where we've been imprisoned, in the world mind that surrounds us as our own five physical senses, which then report unreality, as unreal as the senses themselves. They report a physical form where there is none. They report physical experiences where there are none. They report a physical life where there is none. Once these five walls are walked through, when you walk through the wall of the five senses, there's a new world waiting, a complete new realm. And now the soul senses become accustomed to it and open you up. The things you hear, the things you see, the things you do, the things you experience are totally different than the world knows. And when the Master says, "Peace be unto you," that is what he's saying. He isn't saying, "I hope peace comes unto you." Christ in you is peace unto you. Now is peace unto the disciples when the Master says, "Peace be unto you." As they receive the Christ, peace is unto them. And peace means the end of all conflict, the end of all confusion. Peace unto you is the end of the warfare between the spirit and the flesh. Peace unto you is the end of duality, the end of separation from your own self and your own source. When the inner voice says, "Peace unto you," that is the actual experience of oneness with God. That is the revelation of your own immortality. And you may hear this within yourself. Peace be unto you. This is the revelation to us that now the disciples have lifted up the eye of their being. They have been drawn by the Christ into the new realm. Many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. As Christ becomes more real, not just an idea, and then not just an experience, but the reality of your being. Then you are believing in his name. For his name is his identity in you. And then, as a sent Holy Ghost of the Christ, you will walk forward, letting the light shine. It is now our function to lift the world, to let the light shine through the religions of the world, through the races of mankind. To demonstrate the Christ and your capacity to reject all sense evidence. Finally, to know the one divine life where you stand, where your neighbor stands. You have the capacity now to malpractice the world or to bless it. You have the capacity to release in the world the sense of evil. That was given to you when the Master said to his disciples, that he had given them the power to remit sins. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Only this group had that power, because this group had been given the Comforter. Now, if you were a priest in one of the holy orders of the world, and you thought you had the power to remit sins, this would actually be a sin on your part. If you thought you could lay hands on some and remit their sins, this would be a sin on your part. No holy order can give any man the power. There is no such thing as human forgiveness of sins. And this here is teaching us just that. The only way that sins are remitted is through the power of Christ, not through a human hand. And it is not a person who can remit the sins of another person. It is the Christ within the individual who remits the sins. The moment Christ in you is risen, your sins are remitted. The remission of sins, then, is really the end of separation from God by the final realization of Christ's identity. That's the only way sins are remitted. And all sins, of course, are the belief that I am a personal human being. That sums up all of the sins of the world. This passage, where Christ remits sins, has been so misconstrued that you've got thousands of men in cloaks going around the country putting hands on people's heads and shoulders and saying your sins are remitted, and then the poor fellow goes out and trips down a manhole 10 minutes later. He's immune to nothing. He hasn't received the Christ, and the one so-called remitting his sins hasn't received the Christ. And Christ is the only Redeemer. But you, as you are willing to weep until the Christ announces itself in the garden of your consciousness, the power of remission of sins comes unto you. Your capacity to stand aside and recognize the incorporeal self of every individual is the way you remit sins. There's no sins in the incorporeal self of the world. Only in the five sense corporeal self we see. So we're going to now intensify our capacity to remit the sins of the world, not through personal effort, but through the impersonal Christ. Your next chapter is the last chapter in John. Other days of the resurrection. And we're going to begin with that, our world work. That world work will teach us how we are to face this world of earthquakes and typhoons and diseases and limitations and dying people and restore the lost years of the locusts in our consciousness. Now, I think we owe Nicaragua a recognition that we haven't given her. They say typhoid is supposed to break out there, already has. And so let us now discern the reality. Let's get out of the tomb, out of the sepulchre. Let's see that there is no material self that can have typhoid anywhere in God's universe. There are no diseases in the kingdom of heaven on earth. My sense mind knows nothing about that, but fortunately, we don't have a sense mind. Fortunately, we know that Christ is the only mind. And so we have nothing with which we can perceive disease. We have nothing to behold disease with. If it appears to us, we still cannot behold it or accept it. For the Christ mind knows nothing of this. The Christ mind only knows reality. And so we're accepting no earthquake in Nicaragua or in any part of the globe. We're accepting no typhoid in Nicaragua or in any part of the globe. We're accepting no disease. We're accepting no suffering. We're accepting no human being. We're accepting the incorporeal Christ everywhere. That means yourself is there. And yourself is Christ, and yourself is free. The perfect image and likeness of the Father. And yourself is here. We're accepting the resurrection of Christ in the consciousness of those who live in a country called Nicaragua. The I of you, the I of me, is the I in every individual, and as it ascends in our consciousness, it ascends in them. I am ascending in the consciousness of the world as you accept me in your consciousness, as infinite being. Fear not, it is I. It is always I. All fear is a sense mechanism denying the omnipresence of God. We're out of the tomb. And in our consciousness of the presence, we are playing an important role in the development of the universal resurrection of Christ in the consciousness of mankind. This is the part you are playing. It's the part you have been playing since you undertook this work. We are walking with the disciples of yesterday in the presence of now, sharing with them the same knowledge that was transmitted to them, that I in the midst of thee am the invisible Christ. And then the bestowal of the ghost comes unto all those who remain faithful to the universal truth that only Christ is expressing on earth. There is no second. There is only Christ where the world sees Nicaragua. There is only Christ everywhere. And there we rest until the Father within establishes the deep-rooted consciousness of this truth as an experience, not a statement. Resurrection is never an outer experience of a physical body returning to a physical form. The two angels within were the announcement of an inner resurrection. This is the inner resurrection that takes place in our own consciousness and lifts us to higher levels until we find that Sabbath which is eternal. The eternal Sabbath of the senses, when the veil of the senses is completely pierced and never returns. Only spiritual flesh is present everywhere, and the senses have deceived us from the first. All is the light. That light is the one being that you are. That light is expressing where all forms appear. Mary transcended all appearances when she said, "Show me where my Lord is and I will take him away." There was no physical appearance of the Spirit of God, the Christ Jesus, and yet she said, "Show me where my Lord is." She transcended all appearance. We are being asked to do likewise. Transcend every appearance on this earth, ever saying, "Show me where my Lord is, that I may take him away, that I may be one with the Christ of my own self." Thanks to Mary, We can say, thou seest him when thou seest me. Mary was the Christ she sought. And later, that which appeared to her as the Christ would be revealed to her as her own people. That we can accept now. The Christ you seek infinitely is your being. There is no personal self. There is only your infinite Christ. And to accept this and live with it faithfully. Is finding Christ in the garden. Go unseen, but accepted in your country. In every garden, for there is only one. In every country, in every race, in every religion, find Christ in the garden. Know that you are the invisible self of every church in the world. Then the signs that follow will show you you are truly sent. You will receive the bestowal. The Comforter will announce, henceforth, there is no flesh in your consciousness. For all is the one divine self. This is the preparation of the Christ for the new age. When all who walk in the flesh will walk out of the flesh as Moses and Enoch, Pythagoras, Buddha, Jesus, laying down their coats of skin, and walk into the new universe which has ever been present, awaiting our existence in the next realm of life. Those who have walked before us are all awaiting our entry into this new realm. And the help you are receiving is beyond calculation. We have two more meetings, the 7th of January and the 14th. Then a month off till we meet again on the 11th of February for the special 7th classes. Which end on, I think it's March 24th, the last Sunday in March. If you know some people who might be planning to come here between the 14th of January and the 11th of February, try to get word to them if it's convenient for you, because there won't be any notices mailed out about it. Nor will there be any notices about the special 7 classes, because we don't want to encourage people who haven't been attending to attend these 7. We won't reject them, but we don't want to influence them in any way. These 7 classes will be the capstone of the work. Now please read the 12th chapter of Realization of Oneness and the last chapter of the Gospel of John. Those 2 chapters will constitute the work for the next 2 sessions. Very joyous Christ New Year. Thank you.